بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والجنة للموحدين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم التنزيل بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون صدق الله العظيم All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He shower His choicest of peace and blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, His family, His companions, and upon all those who tread His path in the day of Qiyamah. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, Islam is a comprehensive religion which has taught insan each and every aspect which is related to his life. From the arrival till his departure from this earth, Islam has showed the correct way. Islam has guided insan the manner in which he should conduct himself. For an example, the moment a child is born, you see there are so many sunnah practices which we need to follow, which Islam shows us. And the day he passes away, and when he is about to be laid in the grave, we see Islam guides us even towards death. So we see not a single aspect of a human being's life has been left by Islam, whereby which a person could say that Islam didn't guide me in this. So we see that Islam is comprehensive, it has guided man in all aspects in life. And when a person is a Muslim, all of us are forced, or in fact all of us have to interact with others. We have to move with them, we have to talk to them. So basically Sharia divides the hukuk, the rights which we owe to others, into two. Number one, hukukullah, the rights which we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two is hukukul ibad, the rights which we owe to the creation. So these are the, basically whatever a'mal, whatever activity we take, it would fall under these two. Let us take the first category. It is wajib for a Muslim to perform salah, saum during Ramadan, hajj during its season if he is able. So these are the rights which we owe towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we take point number two, which is rights which we owe to the creation, there are so many we could name. From business transactions, from nikah, from talaq, from jinaya, where the penalties for crimes are discussed, each and everything has been clearly explained in the Sharia. If we take a book of fiqh, generally, we would see one-fourth of that book has been divided, or one-fourth of that book would contain the rulings pertaining to our ibadah, namely salah, zakah, hajj, saum and tahara. Basically, these are the topics which are discussed in one-fourth of a fiqh book. But when we take the balance three-fourths of that same book, we would see most of the time it is discussed with regard to things or actions which are related to humans. So we see Islam focuses more on interacting with others, the rights which we owe to others, compared to the ibadah, the rights which we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But respected brothers and elders in Islam, One of the reasons for this could be the time we take to worship Allah is lesser compared to the time we take to interact with others. For an example, nobody would spend hours after hours reading Quran, nor praying Salat, the Farz Salat, or going in the path of Allah, or in Hajj. He's not going to give his complete life. Or if we take for an example a daily routine of a person, if he has 24 hours, maybe maximum he would spend around 5 to 6 hours in ibadah. Whereas the balance, approximately 18 hours, he would spend with interacting with his family, his colleagues, his friends, his workplace, and so many other people. So therefore it is a clear indication, Islam has to guide insan in most of the activities related to hukukul ibad than hukukullah. So respected brothers, when we take our times today, we see education, modes of transportation, communication has developed and it has gone beyond human intellect. Somewhere where we stay, the satellite could spot my place. The technology has advanced so much. But the saddest part is, respected brothers, most of the people haven't understood how should I conduct myself when it comes to interacting with people. Let us not go out of the house, let us wait inside the house and let us think about ourselves. We have our little ones, we have our spouse, we have our parents with us. How often are we able to interact with them in the correct way, whereby which we would win their hearts? If we are unable to prove, show our love, through our affection to those at home, it's obvious that whatever we are showing to the whole world is just a drama, a picture. It is not our real picture. If we are to go ask someone at home, what do you think about your brother? What do you think about your husband? What do you think about your father? We will get the real message, the true image of this man from his house, not from the society. But respected brothers, today we see people who have gained social status, they are social workers, they help others, but they have forgotten their families. So when we take, there is one extreme, people would focus on ibadah alone, and there is another extreme where people would neglect ibadah completely and they would focus on interacting socially. So what we need to do is, we need to tread a path in between, a balanced line, so that we can fall into the category of following Islam in 100%. Somebody performs tahajjud, somebody performs faral salat on time, he goes to the masjid. I'm not discouraging that. But if he neglects the ta'amul, his interaction with others, if he's not focusing on that, maybe he would score 25% of his exam paper, whereas 75% of his marks would depend on his interaction with others. So we need to focus on both, we need to tread a path which is in balance in between. So respected brothers and elders in Islam, so where do we start? How could we bring a change in us? Number one, we need to identify our roles in life. I'm sure most of us wouldn't have sat and done this exercise. We need to sit alone and start jotting down the responsibilities, the roles we play or perform in our life. An average person would have 10, 15, but at times you might think, try doing this. You would start listing your roles and responsibilities. It would go beyond what you expected it to be. For an example, a person could be a father, he could be an employee or an employer, he could be a husband, he could be a grandparent, a grandfather, he could be a father-in-law, he could be... there are so many roles which all of us play in life, which all of us will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Did you pay your right properly? Did you play your part properly? Have you done it properly? Then we can excel. If not, we are in trouble. Allah should protect all of us. So respected brothers, we need to first... just look at the roles we play in life. Maybe we spend a few hours at the workplace, but most of our other times are with our family. Maybe within our family or inside our homes, we play around 8 to 10 roles at times. I am a son, I am a father. So many roles we have. What happens to an average person is, he neglects the rest and he focuses on one. No sooner a person gets married, sometimes, he forgets his parents. The spouse becomes his concern. He doesn't want to displease his wife because his qibla is 100% towards that. So when the parents are sick, he doesn't bother to visit them or at least call them, and he doesn't have that courtesy to be grateful to that mother and father who brought him up, to that level where he forgets them within few years. And that same thing happens to a lady. For 18 years, for 22 years, she was living with her parents. From nowhere a boy comes and he becomes the husband and she forgets her parents. This is the reality. So these people have forgotten their roles, that I am a son to my father, I am a son to my mother. But what happens next when the father and his parents passes away? He starts regretting, why couldn't I fulfill my rights to them in a proper way? But it's too late. It's too late. So we need to utilize the time. You need to take it as an opportunity when those around us are alive. If we have a part in our life to play with them, we have to play it perfectly. We have to play it perfectly. And number two, we have to check. We have to check how far have I improved, or how am I doing when it comes to my roles in life. For an example, maybe we have tried that exercise of listing down the roles. Number two, let us see how am I when it comes to my role as a father. What is my performance? I would be the best judge. I need not go and ask my children, am I a good father to you? No. If I can sit alone and I can judge myself, and I will be a mufti to myself to grade myself, where do I stand? I need not go to my spouse and ask, am I a good husband to you? No, I will know whether I am doing my job right or wrong. I need not go and ask my mother, mama, do I pay my rights to you properly? Are you happy with me? We need not ask that. My nafs itself will tell me. I am enough to be a judge, it will say you are right or wrong. So respected brothers, at times when we have bitter moments or bitter experiences in our relationship, there is something in our inner which speaks to us. Why did you speak to your mother like that? Why did you speak to your father like that? Why didn't you treat your sister in this way? Why did you scold them? Why did you bark at them? Our nafs speaks to us. That's a clear indication that what we did was wrong and we need to ask for apology. So respected brothers, number one, identify your roles in life. And number two, once you have done that, take a note and just see how far and how well are you performing in these each roles. So whom do we follow when it comes to practicing them? None other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam excelled in all spheres of life. He played all roles. When we have to read his biography, his seerah, we would come across that he was a father, he was a brother-in-law, he was a father-in-law. He played so many roles which we cannot even imagine. But yet none of them complained about him. We don't see any wife of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complaining that, you know, my co-wife, she was favored than I was being favored. Aisha radiallahu anha never complains that, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more attached to Safiya. Nor did another prophet say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was attached to Aisha. None of them complain about the prophet because they were happy with his conduct. They were ready to accept him as a husband. And when we take him as a role as a father, he had four daughters and none of them complained about their father. Take the story of Zainab radiallahu anha. The way he interacted with Abul As, who was not a Muslim initially and later on he accepts Islam. The way he handled the whole thing. His son-in-law was not a Muslim. He wasn't a Muslim, but yet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his interactions with him were such, later on he accepts Islam. So when we take each role of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is something which all of us can follow. As a leader, not a single subject had ever complained except the munafiqs. Not a single subject in the Madinite tour when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there, had the guts to come and say, "Ya Nabi, you did this wrong." None of them said. They accepted his decisions. They accepted whatever Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did wholeheartedly. So let us put ourselves and compare ourselves. Do I perform my roles in that way? Generally we discuss about how Prophet interacted with his spouse. But rarely we discuss about how he interacted with children. The way he interacted with his little ones around. With the sinners. With the hypocrites. How did he interact with them? The way he interacted with the hypocrites, subhanallah. Islam is such, respected brothers, the enemy who is coming to attack you with your akhlaq, they can embrace Islam. That was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are so many incidents written in history where there were so many people who came to assassinate Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they turned out to be best friends. There were so many sahaba who said, "There was a time in my life that the most disliked, the most hated face in my heart was the face of Muhammad, but no sooner I accepted Islam, the face of Muhammad became my beloved face." Subhanallah. That was our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The reason why his companions, his subjects were able to tell that is that they were enjoying being in his company. There were sahabas who made dua soon after his demise. "Ya Allah, snatch my eyesight away because my eyes was meant to see my Prophet." These such duas were made. Do you think any leader in this world would do that? Or his followers would do that? No. He passes away and that's all. Let's carry on in life. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best role model which all of us can follow. And all of us know that most of the non-Muslims too comment on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam based on his excellence when it comes to spiritual side and as well as materialistic side. His secular side was also perfect, his religious side was also perfect. Nobody could point a finger at him and say that you are not good in ibadah, your akhlaq is not good, you are moving with jealousy, you have anger in you. No, not such a comment has been ever mentioned. So respected brothers, number one, let us make Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the role model when it comes to fulfilling our roles in life. And when we take the history of the Muslims, whether it's in this country or anywhere in the world, most of the time people were ready to accept Islam because of the akhlaq of the Muslim. Let us take our country. In Sri Lanka, long time back, all of us claim that we are part of this country. What's the proof? We say the merchants, the traders came here and they got married to non-Muslims who were here and then Islam started to spread. We are proud about our forefathers being traders. we are proud about. Our forefathers had good morals and etiquettes that convinced non-Muslims to accept Islam. That was many years ago, many centuries ago. But today, respected brothers, the same thing, or most of us, or in fact a group of the community, are traders. They are businessmen. The title, the certification we had centuries ago is no longer there. It has gone to that extent that even Muslims are not ready to do transactions with another Muslim brother. We have become so afraid of our own Muslim brother. There was a time trade was able to convince Islam to non-Muslims. But today, trade has become something which even Muslims think twice before making a transaction with a fellow brother. This is the reality. I am a trader. How do I play my role as a trader? Am I honest in my dealings? Do I fulfill my promise? Or do I betray them? Have I become a liar? In a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a mu'min can be a coward. A mu'min can be a coward, but never can a mu'min be a liar. A mu'min never ever can be a liar. But when it comes to our lives, we lie to our spouse, we lie to our parents, we lie to our the boss in our workplace. We don't mind about it, we take it very light. But when you take the hadith, a true mu'min can never be a liar, but he can be a coward. Being a coward is not a good sifa, but a mu'min can be a coward. That is what the hadith says, but never be a liar. So we need to teach that to our little ones, because they are going to be our leaders tomorrow. And if they have got the habit of lying, if they have got that guts to lie in front of us, what are we leaving behind, respected brothers? So let us make Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as perfect models, and our interactions should be such that we will be able to portray the true Islam to the whole world. To the whole world. When we are in social media or whatever, whenever a person sees somebody with a sunnah dress, what is the perception? He would do some harm to us. That is what the social media says. Why don't we start following those sunnahs which the media is scared of, and we will show the true Islam to them. They will be amazed, they will be surprised. These people who follow their traditional ways, they too have good akhlaq in them. Because the picture they have about us is, no, these people are inhuman. They don't have good morals in their life. They are good at harming others. They don't have any good in them. They always want to kill, they want to slaughter, they want to burn down houses and break down buildings. That's what they think about us. Why don't we follow those same sunnahs which the world is fearing? Let us portray the true Islam to the whole world. So respected brothers, so far we have been discussing about how Islam is comprehensive and how it advocates teachings with regard to our interactions with human beings and the importance it shows. And where do we start? Number one, take down the roles, and number two, just see how well you perform in each of them. And then the perfect role model for us to follow is our Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there will be a group of people who would talk to themselves, it's my nature, I can't make a change. These are the ones who will never change. There are some people who will tell themselves, you know, I've been listening to lectures after lectures, they speak about akhlaq, they speak, be calm, don't lose your temper, you know, they speak, don't be jealous, fulfill your promise, don't betray, all these things I've heard, but this is my way, this is my nature, this is my style, I don't want to bring a change. People of this nature will never ever change. What does the Quran say? Inna Allaha la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. Indeed, Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. Unless we bring about a change in our lives, we cannot expect anything else. It's not going to overnight, we cannot automatically change. Even to make a call, we need to have some effort. Just having a mobile in your hand is not going to help you call the person whom you want. If the simple thing of making a call is such, bringing about a change in life should initiate in ourselves. If we are not ready to change, we cannot expect anything. For an example, when we get back home and the little ones at home are not obedient to us, what do we do to them? We tell, no, you have to try, you have to do it, no, this, you have to change your lifestyle, no, if you are to continue like this, you are not going to have a good future. That is what we tell our little ones, forgetting ourselves. We have forgotten ourselves. Why can't you do it? No, I cannot do it. That's my nature. That's my way. Don't try to come and advise me. Respected brothers, let us tell to each other, if somebody says, I cannot, let us tell him, let's try. Let's try. Because whenever we try, it will open the doors of changes. So let us try, respected brothers. So, Finally, to conclude the action plan, what we need to practice, inshallah ta'ala, is to take down the list of roles which we play in life and to do a thorough auditing for that. And number two, a sifa which all of us have to bring in life, don't ever hesitate to seek for apology. Don't ever feel ashamed. Maybe we have done something wrong to my little son. Maybe I am a very elderly person, but I understand what I have done is wrong. But never feel shy. Be humble. Humble yourself. Go to that boy and tell, I'm very sorry for what I have done. And number two, overlook the mistakes of others. Seek apology, at the same time overlook the faults of others. This would become a means for us to make this world a beautiful place to live and make others love us. All of us like to make others happy, but yet if we start things like this, seeking apology, at least saying sorry. I am sorry, I trampled your feet, I am sorry. I didn't do it purposely. So respected brothers, let us bring that in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of us and grant us Jannatul Firdaus. Fa akhir da'wa and alhamdulillah.